Hello and welcome to the Cacao Podcast. We are delighted today to welcome Tom Hilton and Karen Crooks, founding directors of the community interest company Oranges for Justice. Welcome, Tom. Welcome, Karen.
Hello.
We are recording this just before the Day for Social Justice, and it seems particularly appropriate because social justice is very much at the heart of Oranges for Justice. We're also recording it as part of our series on visions of hope. And one of the things that has inspired me is the way that you had a vision of how people here could get involved in creating justice, and you went ahead with it. So can I start off by asking you briefly to describe Oranges for Justice and how it was founded?
So it's a small community interest company, volunteer-led, and quite specific about importing fairly traded oranges and other fruit, actually also from southern Italy. And it started because I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to travel in Italy and was volunteering with a partner organisation of ours called Mediterranean Hope, who work with refugees and migrants in Italy. And as part of that, we visited the cooperative called Mania Terra, where our fruit comes from. And we kind of saw that the situation in that part of Italy, it's a really strong agricultural sort of fruit bowl, if you like, for Europe. And we saw that the vast majority of the people doing the picking were migrant agricultural labourers, and that many of them were living in really desperate situations and working without decent contracts. But at Mania Terra, they were doing it differently. At that point, they weren't being imported into the UK. So a little light bulb went on inside my head, and I thought, I wonder if this is something at some point that we could do. And it started from there, really.
And what motivated you, Tom, to get involved?
I suppose I, having retired, I was doing some local charity stuff, but I was looking for something that was a little bit more meaningful. And we were, Karen's a very good friend of my wife and has been for a long time. And so we knew Karen and her partner Bill very, very well. And this was just sounded to me like a really good opportunity to do something practical where I could actually be involved. Also, you know, to use my time effectively or helpfully in a situation that I was unfamiliar with. It was new to me, but it just seemed like a really good opportunity to begin to make it. Well, to make a little dent, really, I suppose, in what was going on. And when I heard about the desperate situation these people were often in, and the fact that someone was doing something about it in Calabria, it made me want to kind of. It seemed like something that was doable, something that we could do that wasn't going to take over our lives, but it was going to be a significant part of our lives and would enable us to, you know, just to begin to make a difference. And that's, I suppose that's where it came from.
That is really inspiring, because I think that sense of there's something wrong here and it would be good to make a difference is something we often feel in so many situations. And tremendous that you went from that feeling to what if we, and then created this community interest company and began to ensure that people in the UK were able to participate in helping to create social justice on the ground, as it were.
It was certainly Karen's vision, because she, I mean, she'll speak for herself, but I just picked up the fact that she was so moved by what she saw that she couldn't not do anything. It wasn't something new in the sense that these oranges were, and this fruit was being imported into Germany So certainly doable, more complicated because of the UK and the problems of Brexit and so on, but she knew that something could be done. I mean, the important thing is we all eat, many of us eat citrus fruit, and we take for granted that, or we assume that it's produced, maybe that it's produced in a humane way. Well, it isn't. And that opened my eyes to the fact that we could do something about not just doing it, but also we could inform people about the way things work conventionally, and we could say, well, actually, there is a way of this. This is exploitative and cruel, and we could do something different.
I'd like to ask you, Karen. You have this light bulb moment, and you think, could we? What were the next steps that you took, and what were some of the challenges that you faced?
Sure. Well, I think part of the light bulb was that I knew that a few palettes, because so when I talk about a palette, I'm talking about, if you can imagine in your mind's eye what a palette is like, stacked with 56 boxes of fruit. And that's the kind of unit in which we deal, which is an interesting challenge in itself. But a few palettes had been imported to Scotland a few years previously, because Mediterranean Hope had a Scottish mission partner from the Church of Scotland and the Methodist Church to into Rome. She works in Rome. And it had been very, very difficult for them because they weren't the right kind of entity, so they didn't have an export-import number. So in a sense, we off the back of the thing that was difficult for them, we were able to shape our project in a more accurate way, if you like, a more suitable, appropriate way. So that's why we had to form a kind of company rather than a charity or another kind of entity. So that was, and I think that's something we've seen repeated several times. We've become not so scared of messing something up or failing because we learn from it, and we learn how to do it better next time. And that's, I think, where that was the first thing. Someone else's difficulty actually was able to help us form things more accurately. I think then finding a great team to do the project with. The first time that I tried to make it happen, I couldn't really generate enough interest among the people that I knew. I had, you know, it takes quite a lot of time and enthusiasm, and it has to sort of, in a sense, hit the sweet spot for the person that becomes involved. And I think once Tom and I, we're able to start working together, it started to have legs, because I felt, oh, here's someone who really cares about this and is really prepared to be involved. While obviously we try not to let it take over our lives, and we very much have a season and then an off season, because many people don't quite realise that citrus is grown over our winter, because you think of citrus growing in the sun, don't you? And it's but actually it comes to maturity over our winter. So then we get the summer off, which is great. But it does need quite a lot of availability during that time. So that was a bit of a challenge, kind of finding the right people to work with. And then just, I think, anything that you're doing where you're trying to work on a different system than the free market, those people who've been involved in fair trade in different aspects will know about this. It's not very straightforward, because the main paradigm with globalization is the free market. And when you try to do something differently to that with different starting points and end points, there are challenges along the way. So, yeah, I think that's there have been, and there will continue to be, things that we have to learn about how to do it well, while doing it differently. And that difference is actually about, are the people at the other end getting paid enough, and are they being treated well, and do they have lives of dignity? Which is where it has to start, really, doesn't it?
It's something that is absolutely critical, but so easy when one wanders into a supermarket and there are just a pile of bananas or a pile of oranges, to see them as objects rather than something that somebody has lovingly tended and from which somebody is deriving their livelihood.
Mm,
yeah. Can I just say that Pepe, who actually manages Manu Terra, says this isn't revolutionary. That this is not something that, you know, a few mavericks are sort of trying to do, and they're doing something different. They are, but it's actually doing the right thing by people. So this is the way it should be. This is really the way it should be. And it isn't. We're just trying to do it in a way that kind of makes sense in terms of people's lives.
I think it's an interesting question. Coming at it from a Christian standpoint, I think one could almost say the gospel is always revolutionary. Loving your neighbor is, in a sense, always revolutionary. Mm. Not because it is, as you say, you know, sort of storming the barricades, but because it is so counter to the way that the system normally works.
I think, you know, it's really interesting that, in a sense, our eyes are open, and I think many of each one of our customers, I have not thought about this before, actually, but as I'm listening and talking, I'm thinking, oh, each one of our customers, in a sense, is having their eyes open to a different way. And yet, I still go into a supermarket and buy some fruit and veg. And it's so hard not to. It's so hard not to participate in that system. And for those of your listeners who don't know, there's a wonderful film called The Pickers, which is part of a wider thing called The Pickers Campaign, which you can find online, which is a campaign to improve the lives of migrant agriculture, well, in fact, all agricultural workers in Southern Europe, and to campaign for a fair wage. And it takes four products in four different European countries and shows the lives of the people who pick them. But we've become so used, haven't we, to being able to eat what we like, when we like, in the quantities we like, and it all looking very nice, that the process that's involved in actually saying, no, I'm going to do it differently, and what I guess we're trying to do is to make it easier for people to do that with the few products that we are able to sell at the moment, clementines, oranges, lemons and avocados, that actually you can buy those with a clear conscience if you buy them through Oranges for Justice. And we like to say sometimes it's fruit with a side help, or it's justice with a side helping of fruit, I'm sorry, that way around. So yeah,
that process of opening people's eyes. And I had, before I met you and encountered you, I had no idea the conditions in Southern Europe. So I speak as someone who is one of the people whose eyes you have opened. That process of opening people's eyes, I think, is so important. And again, the lovely thing is that you've not only opened our eyes, but you've given us a mechanism for then doing the right thing. Because if your eyes are opened, but you don't see a way forward, that can be really difficult. But if your eyes are opened and somebody gives you a way forward, that's very empowering. And it helps us to think that, yes, we can make change. We can make a difference, even by relatively small choices, thanks to people who are putting in quite a lot of effort to help make that easy. So thank you for that. What would your vision of the future be?
I'd really love to see Oranges for Justice in every kind of major area, so that, you know, that you wouldn't have to go very far to get an Oranges for Justice box. But you know, that's a big vision, I guess. And we just go in a location at a time. And if anyone is listening to this podcast and would like to help, by sort of becoming one of our hub leaders who helps to sell the fruit in their area, then please get in touch, because that's the way it works, is that we find like-minded individuals who are enthusiastic and think it's important, and they get going and get sort of inroads into their local area. So that's how it works. And the limitations are really our time and energy, you know, our ingenuity, so to speak. So we have a wonderful band of volunteers who do all sorts of things for us for free, and we can't thank them enough, because we just, you know, we wouldn't be able to manage or sort of balance our books if it weren't for the generosity of people in so many ways, even down to the number of thanks that we get from people. I'm sure you'd say the same, Tom. People just say, thank you for doing this. Thank you for making this possible. And people are so generous. There is a lot of kindness out there. I think that's what one kind of beacon of hope that I'd like to offer to your listeners, is that, you know, there are a lot of people who are kind, despite all the horrible stuff going on and all the our worries about, you know, some of the ways that things are developing here. There's still a great deal of kindness and goodwill out there.
What advice would you give to people who want to make a difference, not just in this area, but more broadly from what you have encountered?
Of course, people can get involved in larger organisations by being part of those organisations. There are lots of organisations that are working towards social justice. So it's you know, being part of something like that is fantastic. I think we're lucky in the sense that we're working with something very directly, and that helps, I think, because we can touch and feel and see what's going on and how that benefits the people we work with. So I think it is there is a benefit actually in doing something that's quite practical. You know, the world is not a very hopeful place in many ways, but actually. I'm not advocating we never watch the news, but I also think that it can be debilitating, and doing something can be very it can be good. It's good for the people that do it. You know, it's certainly good for the people that do it because it helps us to have a real focus in life and feel that we're doing something. So yeah, I mean, what would I say? I would say get involved in Oranges for Justice, but of course there are all sorts of. There are all sorts of projects that people can get involved in.
I think you need to feel passionate. You know, I think that it really helps if you feel passionate about the thing that you get involved in. You know, if it's youth work, if it's, I don't know, if it's, you know, working at your local. I also volunteer at a local community centre. I do the washing up and they serve 125 pay-as-you-can meals every Friday. And I love that. I love the fact that people pay what they can. Many people eat for free and it's a really nutritious, lovely meal, and people have got company, all sorts of people come. So, you know, choose something that you're passionate about so that you're not kind of, it's not a heavy duty, but something that you can really see the point of, and don't spread yourself too thinly. I think it's really easy to get involved in too many things and then you end up exhausted. But if you have one or two things, you can really you know, you can commit to them and you can get involved. And I would say also, if you're going to start something, you know, find a great team. It makes a massive difference if you enjoy spending time with the people that you're working with, you know. And Tom's right, we're very lucky. We do something very specific and it's a very small group of relationships in a sense. But we can pick up the phone and talk to Pepe anytime we want. You know, we can get an interview with one of the pickers to make a leaflet to let people know what a difference they're making. So we're really lucky in that way. And not everybody has that. But also, I think, be prepared to fail and learn that, you know, you can't make an omelette without breaking eggs. It's very true. And we have made quite a few mistakes, but you know, that's all part of the process, and not to be discouraged when you meet obstacles or when, you know, sometimes it's a bit hard going and other times it just flows, and that's just the nature of it. And it's kind of being able to encourage each other to keep going and, you know, divvying up stuff and checking in with each other. I do think, although we're very small, I still think volunteer management, when you're, you know, asking how each other are, you know, is it too much, can I do this, or being honest with them, you've got too much, or you've got a nasty cough and need to delay when you do your podcast or whatever, you know, looking out for each other. I think it's embodying the same kind of life that you would like the people to have at the other end of it. You've got to embody that as well in the way you work together. And we don't always manage it, but we try, and we try to sort it out when we've not managed it. So yeah.
Thank you. Can I ask a couple of just quick questions about where you are? So you have about how many boxes of fruit will be coming over in this next order?
Ooh, 168. If my maths is right, last in December. So we have, that's three pallets of 56 boxes. So I hope that's the right maths. I may have got it wrong, but I think it's right. 168. And in December we had seven pallets. It was a garage. In my case, it was a garage full of four pallets. I could hardly move around the side of it. So yeah, it did. The first year we had four pallets delivered. This year we'll have had 10. So that's great, and we'd love to see that grow next season to, you know, more than 10, 15 would be fantastic if we manage that next season.
Yeah.
And then we know that we can pay the money towards the renovation of the hostels, which is an important thing for us to do. So, yes, I mean, people say at least 2 years to start. I mean, we're not turning a profit, but we want to balance our books and so we're on track, I think, is the way.
Yeah, we got two new centres at Christmas, Reading, sort of discreet centres, Reading and Norwich, you know, and so certainly the March order won't be like the Christmas order. The Christmas is a great time, actually, for this project, because it seems that people will, you know, that there's a lot of enthusiasm at that time, and it seemed to work really well. But, you know, if we can continue that growth, you know, if we can, I mean, that's pretty high percentage rate of growth. And if we can continue that for 2 or 3 years, we'll be making a bigger dent, won't we?
Yeah.
it's still small, but it's a bigger dent. Yeah.
It's a significant dent, and thank you for it. Thank you so much, both of you. This has been a huge inspiration, and particularly because of your honesty about the fact that we are all people trying to do what is right, trying to follow where we are led, and doing it slowly sometimes, haltingly sometimes, imperfectly sometimes. But what a joy it is to see the fruits of your labour and every blessing as you go forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been lovely speaking with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.